Hello and welcome to the Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, where we explore the culinary arts in and around the greater Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Drabenstadt, your host for our gastronomic tour of our region's amazing food scene. I'm here with Adam Flatt and Chef Chris Kurtz from Social Still, located on East 3rd Street in the south side of Bethlehem, right down from our studios here. Chris and Adam, welcome to the Inside Dish.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's start at the beginning days of Social Still. Adam, what's your background and how did it lead you to opening a distillery?
Sure. My family owns Franklin Hill Vineyards. We're the oldest Lehigh Valley winery, opened 1982. I was only about 6 years old when all that got started. But born and raised in the business, and we saw a natural progression around 2012 that boutique whiskey was going to be a thing. We were pretty excited to get on top of it. So we started then, a little bit of planning, and we opened late 2014.
Okay. And how similar or dissimilar is winemaking from distilling?
Sure. Before I started, it was exactly the same. And then once I got started, I realized how the challenges were going to be. And we took on about 50% of it is similar. And then there's quite a bit to learn beyond what winemaking was offering for me. But it was really nice to have that base underneath me to get me to where I am today.
I imagine one of the differences that you, unlike winemaking, you don't have to tend to vines. You don't need to necessarily be an agriculturalist, even though you need to understand some of those raw ingredients, whether it's corn or rye or things like that.
Sure. Now, it's still an agricultural product, and you know,
of course,
it starts with the corn and the rye. But yeah, we're not tending to the farm right now. We do try to source all of our grains from Pennsylvania when it's whether it's Pennsylvania corn or our Pennsylvania rye, and then we go a little bit further for our malted barley right now. We get it from Ireland.
So. Okay. Talk a little bit about your location and building on the south side. From what I recall, it's a former – is it a bank building?
It was the original Gastoni Bank, built 1919. It was the original bank for the steel mill. They did carry multiple denominations of money. They sent money back home to people in Eastern Europe that were working in the steel mill, spoke many languages. And over the years, it became the Union Bank, where then every south side – basically, if you were a resident over here, even our current mayor said his first checking account was over there. So it's pretty cute stories about the south side. We get a lot of people coming and tell us stories about it being a bank. But now it's we gave it another chapter in life, another chance to be something great. We're excited to see what we can do with that building and especially with our spirits in that building.
And what's the vibe in there in terms of what it's like? If I remember, it's high ceilings. You guys have really cool lighting.
Yeah, we have high ceilings. We have Rockbot, which is a DJ system that each guest can pick their own songs and play it. Very upbeat, very enthusiastic, you know, staff and everything else.
And was it quite an effort to repurpose an old bank building into a distillery and restaurant?
We get that question quite often. A lot of people ask, like, how did you, why is it so beautiful? Who designed this? Who did everything else? I said, the bones were there. It was such a beautiful building to begin with that we were just blessed to be able to come in, bring it back to its original form. It is a level one restoration. So we are a National Historic Landmark now. And as far as I know, it's the only one making booze in a National Historic Landmark and ironically built during Prohibition. So they couldn't legally drink when they built it, and now we're making liquor inside the building.
I'm sure they found a way at the time, right?
I'm sure they did, yeah. Bathtub gin, they used to call it, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about both the spirits and the food, starting with the spirits. What type of spirits do you have available at Social Still, both flagship and any sort of special or seasonal offerings?
Well, we're not just a distillery as a restaurant and a cocktail bar. We need to feature just about everything. So we work really hard on having ultra-premium spirits in almost every category. We have vodka, we have rum. We have our bourbons. We also have a rye whiskey. And then variations of each of those, like a strawberry vodka or even a coffee-infused bourbon where we collaborated with our friends here in Lit on the south side as well. So a lot of fun stuff we do.
Okay. And Chef Chris, what's your approach to the food at Social Still? You've been there 2.5 years. How do you approach it, maybe because you're at a distillery as opposed to just a standalone restaurant? Is it different? Tell me about your approach.
Sure. I think we coined the term gastro distillery.
I like that.
Earlier, a couple years ago. And we really go with that approach. Fresh food from scratch, utilizing as many local vendors as we can. We work with a mushroom farm that's local to the valley. Our duck also comes from Chartlesville, which isn't too far away. So we really, you know, hone in on the localism aspect of it. you know, try to keep on top of the food trends as well. We do three menus a year seasonally. So we always get to do and try and, you know, run awesome specials and, you know, keep evolving our food. You probably won't see, you know, too many things on one menu to the next. You know, we do have our staples, but we always try to keep it interesting.
And what are some of those staples that are maybe fan favorites, I guess?
Probably the biggest one is the Social Stack Burger. It's a Big Mac rethought, you know, made from scratch using PA Proud ground beef from Lancaster County. And it's just the best Big Mac that you could ever put in your mouth.
And because the spirits are distilled on site and the restaurant is there also, I imagine there is a focus on pairing as well. And usually you might think about pairing for wine or for beer, but you can also do that with spirits, I imagine.
And cocktails as well. We try to utilize the cocktails as a pairing point. If there's an item that each thing, the cocktail has and the food has that works well together, you know, we're playing around with Asian ingredients, misos. So our scallop dish features a miso sauce, and we were messing around with a miso drink, a darkened miso. So a dark and stormy cocktail with ginger beer, rum, and we made a miso simple syrup in it. And it adds a umami flavor to it that is totally different, that pairs really well with the scallops.
Based on that, I would think maybe unlike wine, which is a little more subtle in its variety, or even beer to some extent, you have a lot more latitude.
Absolutely.
In the flavor profile or the intensity that you can provide in a pairing with cocktails or spirits.
Absolutely. We utilize a lot of food ingredients into our cocktails and a lot of cocktail ingredients into our food as well. Our bartenders are awesome. They're coming up with all these tinctures and homemade bitters and all these crazy things that they're incorporating into the cocktails that make the food pairing so much easier and something that in unique experience for each individual guest.
Now, Adam, is there an opportunity to confer with Chef Chris when you're doing the distilling?
Oh, every day. Yeah. Chris and I speak every day about flavor profiles, the layering of flavors, how certain ingredients may affect the outcome in the end. So I came into this with a pretty decent palate coming out of the wine world, but I didn't have the food understanding. So Chef Chris has come in and really given me a lot of info about what matters and how things react with each other and stuff I never would have figured out on my own. So it's been amazing to collaborate the two concepts together because they are incredibly similar. But unless you give it a chance, you didn't realize that. So when you bring those ideas together, you really can shine in the product as well as in the food.
Well, a lot of other craft distilleries I've been to, whether it's in New York or other parts of the country, they have food there and maybe some munchies. So to have a full-service restaurant that has a trained chef there has to be an advantage in terms of what you're able to extract from the distilling process and flavors that you want to impart.
Sure. Yeah. And if you take those ideas home with you too. So, you know, when I go home with Chris's ideas, then you can come back to work the next day and be like, hey, I thought about this. Now I have better ideas from it. So, and then we can even tell each other when you think you're off kilter a little bit too, where you've kind of missed the mark at times. And I'd be like, if I'm uncertain, I could always go to Chef trusting his palate, knowing he knows what he's talking about. I say, hey, are you noticing anything here that I'm not noticing? And a lot of times we're able to kind of back each other up and show that, like, hey, there's something there that maybe one individual wouldn't have caught, but both of us together were able to grab it. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about your efforts, especially recently, in terms of protecting water and being more environmentally conscious, both locally and also worldwide. What are some of the things you're doing?
Sure. I mean, because we are an agricultural product, water is one of the most important things to us here at Social Still. We do everything we can to protect it. We started with getting rid of all single-use straws. We put a biodegradable straw in only a couple drinks, but we do encourage people to not use a straw at all. We actually have our own hashtag we don't suck. And we're just encouraging people to stay away from using straws just as a necessity when you need it. Of course, we do have available straws there for people with special needs or anything else or anybody requests it. We also got rid of single-use plastics out of our retail store. We have biodegradable takeout containers, sanitary gloves, anywhere we can put a little less burden on the water source is important to us. And then the final step is at the purchase point. Anytime we sell a bottle at Social Still or anywhere, anytime a bottle is sold of our liquor, we donate 5 months of safe water to people in the developing world by donating to water.org. And that way we're able to give back water to people that don't have it, and also then protect our local water by doing the things that we do in our restaurant.
So, and Chef, similar things in the restaurant as
absolutely.
Well?
Absolutely. All of our takeout food is in biodegradable containers. The plastic bags that hold all our food for Uber Eats and DoorDash is all, you know, recyclable or compostable.
And minimal food waste too?
Yeah, very minimal food waste. We upcycle as much as we can.
And I think it's fair to say we're in 2019. It seems like the business of craft distilling is still on an upswing, maybe like where the craft beer business was 10 years ago. I've read numbers that volumes might be up as high as 20%, maybe the number of craft distilling operations as much as 15%. What is driving the growth, and what challenges and opportunities does that provide?
Sure. Basically, you're seeing a decline in beer consumption, especially among millennials.
About 1%, 2% a year.
Yeah. And they're watching that market share decline. And a lot of these people have either chosen healthier lifestyles or just different options. And we're there for the people that are looking for another option. For maybe they've done the craft beer thing for a while. Now they're ready for the craft whiskey idea. But we have to be authentic, just like craft beer was to what it was. And so we have to use the best ingredients, the best processes. Anytime we can make sure that we're using an ultra premium ingredient is important to the future guests and clients and the drinkers of our spirits. And they're responding to that. And you're seeing a huge growth, especially in whiskey consumption in America. And then among females, too, it's growing faster. And that's a really great opportunity for us small distilleries. And, of course, that whole idea of, like you said before, about craft, people want to kind of change from the big brands to the littler brands and support local. And we're perfectly positioned for that. We want to stay small. We don't have a dream to ever get real big and be the next big thing in America. If we become a little regional gem here in the Lehigh Valley, that makes us pretty happy.
Well, great. Adam and Chef Chris, thanks for taking the time to come here and talk to us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And much success.
Thank you.
I'm Mike Dravenstadt, and this is The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon.